we go. All right.
Take three, because we've had some profanity and your machine doesn't work.
Well, again, that's what she said.
Yep.
I can say that. You can't. ESPN doesn't care about me. One Hall of Famer to another. Congratulations on the efforts on stage tonight. You said everything that we've been preaching for quite some time at the Luligans. Come out, see STLFC, worry about that first before MLS.
Yeah, and I just think it's more important to set the tone for what kind of atmosphere, no matter what team and what level is playing, you want to set the atmosphere. And I think you guys have done a wonderful job of turning St. Louis Soccer Park into an environment, because ultimately when the stadium turns into 15, 18, 20, 22,000, that environment needs to carry over. This city has a rich history, but at the professional level, it doesn't have that history. And I think you guys deserve a ton of credit for starting this the right way.
We appreciate that, because, as you said, we don't have that current history. It's all in the past. And that came up several times on stage tonight, that we have to talk about the future. The future being the way MLS is today, the way USL is, that we have to make things happen at the ground, work our way up, build it from the bottom, come out and see the product, but also bring that environment that we bring. HOK mentioned it too as well. You make that section, bring that fan environment, so it's not just soccer moms anymore like it was in MLS 1.0. It's now 3.0, where we're making things happen.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, what the saying I use for St. Louis is embrace history, but don't live in the past. And I think that is a huge obstacle, hurdle that this city needs to get over. And I think if they do, and I believe they will, then I think whatever soccer franchise is here, no matter what level, will flourish for years to come. I mean, think about this. The Ambush draw, 5,000-6,000 fans. Soccer is loved in this town. Soccer is loved in this city. So why it should be supported.
And that's great to hear, because I think that's, you know, again, we keep telling people come out, do what they're supposed to do. But at the same time, it's not just one facet. It's, you know, we all grew up playing the game. Mm-hmm. We all grew up, you know, either in clubs or high school, moving on. It kind of stops at that level. But the important thing is that when the end of the day comes around, if you're not supporting what we have locally, you can't really sit, oh, I'm an Arsenal fan, I'm a Chelsea fan, I'm a Newcastle fan, if you're not a fan of your local team.
Amen. That's my biggest pet peeve of this country, and I still think we need to get over that. I'm be an Arsenal, be a Newcastle, be a Barcelona fan, but you can't tell me you're a footy fan if you're not supporting your local team, no matter what level it's at.
So you've heard it now from the guy that's on ESPN watching these games every week.
That every game, I'm probably on all of you mute or throw your remote at the TV.
No, you're better than Max Burrito. We'll like you plenty fine. So we're not worried about
Max
that.
Max is good people. What
He's
are you talking
good people,
about?
But the whole fake Spanish accent when he gets going,
it's
with the role.
It's not fake.
It's over-accentuated.
It's real.
Yes, it's real.
He's Cuban.
It's real, but you don't need to over-roll the R's and
I
stuff like
Max.
That. We
All
like
right,
Max.
Man, this was fun.
I appreciate
good
it. Thank you, Taylor.
Pal.
So that was Taylor Twellman starting off this episode of This Is Silly with the Luligans. Mitch, Brad, Bird.
Hello.
We were at TEDx this week at Washoe University.
Yeah, it was a nice little panel. We went out and they had one panel on players reaching their dreams, and for that they had Lori Kolupny and Taylor Twellman and Al Trost and Bill McDermott on talking about that part. And then after a short break with HOK Architecture, we started talking a little bit more about the plan to bring MLS to St. Louis.
And it was interesting. They mildly touched on the MLS to STL group, but it was more about if
Jim Woodcock was on the stage representing them. I mean, but it was more of a general conversation.
Right.
It wasn't a specific conversation.
Right. It wasn't, you know, oh, this is our plan, this is our agenda. But HOK talked about what the stadium would have looked like if it was a football or American football stadium. Talks about what it is to make a soccer stadium, and he used Borussia Dortmund and a handful of other locations as his examples of what they would want to create here.
Yeah, I think more work obviously still has to be done. He threw a couple slides up on the screen of a smaller venue. But with this new plan to do the official stadium search, that's all part of it. I'm sure we'll get some pretty pictures, as Matt Bird likes to say, and some, you know, 3D fly-through videos of whatever a new stadium would look like, and I'm excited to see that kind of stuff. But even Woodcock admitted this is very early. This is the basic ground floor steps of putting together some guys who are movers and shakers in the St. Louis area, in sports in particular, and looking at options for a stadium and how it would get paid for and where it would be and things like that. So, I mean, there's not an ownership group yet, although I would imagine if it comes to fruition, some of these guys on this group would be a part of the ownership.
And that's what's worth mentioning for those that are out of town or not caught up, is that since
or if that's stupid.
Well, that too.
it's not an ownership group. The phrase exploratory committee was used.
Yes, that was announced since our last show.
But it's a hell of a list of people.
Oh, my God, isn't it? It's, you know, Jim Woodcock, Jim Cavanaugh of STLFC, DeWitt the Third, I believe it was.
From the Cardinals.
Yeah. I mean, movers and shakers.
Yeah.
No question.
The Blues, another one of the Blues.
Chris.
Stillman?
Zimmerman.
Yeah. Okay.
The guy that actually runs it.
And of course Dave Peacock is involved too.
Yeah. I mean,
and if it does ever go to a vote, that's the kind of list of people you want spearheading it, because if it's a I say his name a lot, Vincent Tan, if it's a Vincent Tan wanting public funds for a stadium, it's not gonna happen. But if you see those solid St. Louis guys next to it,
right,
who have invested their time and money into the city.
Yeah, everybody on that list is dedicated to St. Louis. So I don't have any problem with anybody on the list.
No, that
also
said.
Also want to say, importantly, they're doing this exploratory committee. They're paying for it themselves. Because we know public financing is going to be an issue. We still owe $16 million for the Rams stadium study and all that stuff. So whether or not it eventually becomes partially funded by a public grant for the stadium or not, this stage, it's privately funded. So,
and it's worth mentioning, as we went down that list, none of them are billionaires.
No.
So, you know, the thing, again, tempered expectations, we don't have that big money guy that's going to write that first check right now. It's a lot of number twos.
And I don't know if we talked about it on the last podcast. David Beckham, his group is strong. It's solid. It's him. It's Lywicki. It's Simon Fuller from AEG, I think.
From everything?
Big, big money. And they're still looking for Dubai money from PSG to come in, or Qatar. I forget which it is. But PSG's owners, which are like mega billionaires, if that group is looking for big money, obviously the list we mentioned for St. Louis doesn't have that big money component.
And it's no slight against those guys.
No.
They can buy and sell us.
Right.
I mean.
But that's the kind of money you have to run an MLS club these days.
In all fairness, I mean, Miami's a little bit more posh to where it's going to cost a little bit more.
But you're going to have a $200 million stadium, whether or not some of that is funded by taxpayers. You're going to have $100 million-ish, give or take, expansion fee. And that's before you hire anybody to work in the office to take tickets.
Advertising.
And then you got the players.
Design, yeah.
You know, which, you know, yes, there's a theoretical salary cap, but you still have to spend more than that with your designated players and things like that. So this is not a cheap endeavor.
New.
So, and that's why Kavanaugh has always said, I want to be involved if there is an MLS team, but it's not going to be him writing the checks. I mean, he'll write a percentage of the checks, but but it's not a cheap ballgame.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that, you know, again, thanks to Taylor for taking a few minutes to talk to me before he ran out the door, because his family was literally walking out the door as I was catching him. But, you know, he kept saying it over and over again that, you know, if we're going to do things, we have to do it the right way. And that's what we've been saying forever.
Yeah, I mean, people still today on Twitter, you know, somebody said, we're anti-MLS. I mean, we can't say it enough. Maybe Bird is a little anti-MLS.
Well, there's two issues here. There's things St. Louis can control, and there's things St. Louis can't control. St. Louis can't control the fact that MLS is a single entity. That I don't like that.
Right.
St. Louis can control where the stadium is. St. Louis can control who the owners are and how it's funded and things along those lines. And that's what Taylor was getting at. If St. Louis... what St. Louis can control, it has to do it right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he even made the comment, and it's if you lived in St. Louis for more than 5 months, you figure it out. Every highway meets downtown.
Yeah, the highways converge downtown for a reason. You know,
and he was very specific in his address at the TED Talk that you can't put this stadium anywhere but downtown.
You have the St. Louis, you have the arches, the backdrop. For the, you know, when they do the fly-in for the game, you know, today at the stadium, blah, 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 you have to have that arch in the background. You have to have the river nearby. It's what you have to present.
And every place MLS is working currently is downtown. You've got struggling franchises like Chicago, whose stadium is outside of downtown. You've got the New England Revolution. When they started, putting your team in an NFL team was a good idea because you didn't have to build something new, but they need to build a stadium in Boston.
Yeah, right here, right now. I'm thinking Foxborough's just swallowing them.
Yeah, and even Kansas, people use Kansas City, but I think we've come to realize
Kansas City was a unique situation.
Kansas City is the exception to a lot of rules. They didn't have, you know, for the longest time, they didn't have that big money player. They didn't have, they made things work in that Midwestern values way that it
worked.
And
they forget. It sucked when they were at Arrowhead.
It was awful.
There were 7,000 people at a 70,000 seat arena.
And if you haven't been out to Sporting Park or whatever the hell they're calling it now, that area has been built up around the park and the racetrack. So it's not like it, you know, it's out in the county like in Earth City where there's nothing else going on. It's an area that was up and coming that they built up and made a go-to place.
But it's still 20 miles from downtown. You can't stay in downtown and catch a quick cab to
that stadium.
It's a fair old trek.
I still think it was a unique situation where they had an opportunity to get a stadium and build it right, and they got like three of the four check marks, all of them but location. You know what I mean? So fair play to them, but if we're doing this from scratch, from the start, it's got to be downtown.
As now, yeah. And I say that, we all say that as guys that live in the suburbs, it's still going to be downtown. No one would ever argue to put Busch Stadium in the suburbs. So
yeah, I'd like it in Jefferson County, personally, because I'd have to drive
it
less.
When they talked about putting it in their city, there was a near riot.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody was pissed. Busch Stadium has to be downtown. Cardinals have to be downtown.
Well, and not just downtown. It puts it in the center for all fans, no matter where they live.
Mm-hmm.
We know right now a lot of people from the east side come over for St. Louis FC games. Well, if you put that in St. Charles, that's another hour for them to drive, you know. So you can't put it one place to satisfy one small pocket of the population. Put it in the center and, you know, all of us converge on that one center.
And if driving downtown is a deal breaker for you, how badly do you want this thing anyway? That's my question.
Yeah.
But again, as I said in my article and as we've discussed before, I think a lot of people, they want it for themselves, not for the area. They want location for themselves, not for the area.
Well, and let's be honest. It hasn't stopped Cardinals fans or Blues fans from coming to games.
I mean, the Cardinals are one of the biggest drawing baseball teams in the United States.
And I know there's fans that live in St. Charles, and I know there's fans that live down by me in Jefferson County. Then there's definitely fans on the east side. So, I mean, it's not an impediment to me going to a game downtown, even though it is a 35-minute drive.
And the other thing that's worth mentioning, too, and this is a more of a civics question more than anything for a lot of people, is that when you have a facility like this, when you have a 25,000-30,000 seat stadium, you want to have a hotel infrastructure nearby.
Oh yeah.
And if you put it out in the far reaches of the county, you don't have that, because if you want to have, you know, the MLS game of the week, if you want to have the MLS All-Star game, if you want to host USA qualifiers, you have to have a hotel infrastructure nearby. Yeah. If you put it in...
Well, that, and think of all the businesses that do shuttles for Blues games or for Cardinals games. You know, basically every bar in Soulard, you know, you go there, you pre-party a little bit in the daytime, and then you catch a shuttle and they bring you back to your car at night. I mean, I don't know. I think the benefits of downtown just far outweigh any negatives.
Well, and I think that gets into the culture of St. Louis, which is a shame, and it's not worth getting into. But, you know, people move to the county to get away from elements, and I think that's really what this comes down to with a lot of people, that they don't want poverty nearby. They want glamour and glitz.
Well, and if done right, the new soccer stadium will improve the area that it's put into. Yes. So, I mean, that's part of the problem.
As Bird likes to say, a rising tide lifts all boats.
There you go.
Well, going with that, there's a civics issue again. And this happened in Detroit with the zoo. The mayor of Detroit, the zoo is out in the suburbs, but the zoo is funded by the inner city, Detroit. And the mayor of Detroit said, we can't have poor black people paying for a zoo so rich white people can go look at animals.
Right.
You know, and it's the same thing here. You can't have a sales tax
to fund this thing where you got poor black people on the north side paying for a stadium that's out in Chesterfield, you know, so rich white folk can go watch a soccer game. It's that whole transfer of wealth that people scream about.
Well, before we get too political,
and I am not Paul Krugman, so no. I can't. But I may have missed certain things. In that.
Before we get too political, though, I mean, also if we look at the demographics of who's going to MLS games, it's overwhelmingly young people. So, and a lot of young people live in the city.
Yeah, it's Tower Grove South.
It's not the soccer moms. It's not the, and I'm a 46-year-old man. I mean, my wife is a soccer mom, but it's the demographic that is attracting is the young people.
Yes.
So it's
the soccer mom and dad may go to two or three games a year. Jason McAdams, who lives downtown or Karen Montgomery or James Costin, will go to every single game.
Right. And if the soccer moms want to go to every single game, nobody's stopping them.
No, it's still that, you know, the stadium is still in a central location.
So, I don't know. Other than that, at the TED Talk, I mean, Lori Kolupny was there, said some very nice things about the city of St. Louis.
How nice is she?
She's the greatest.
How nice is
that? I mean, I've met her two or three times, but it's, you know, she meets thousands of people.
Yeah.
And she was walking by me in the hall, and I just was surprised to see her right there. And I said, oh, hey, Lori, long time no see. And she's like, yeah, it's great to see you again. She couldn't have had any idea who I was. But, you know, she's that person that, you know.
Who the hell are you?
Yeah. That would have been the best. That would have been the best.
Then she would have known it was Brad, though. That's right. The thing.
But I mean, you know, super sweet. And Taylor was the same way. I've met Taylor at a couple different occasions. And
I thought he knocked it out of the park, actually.
His statements on the dais were great.
I really hope and wish that there's some way that it gets out there, his speech, because he was – It was funny because I was expecting him as an employee of ESPN to be just very MLS centric and not hit on the actual soccernomics of the whole situation. And when he started talking about the way things have to be, that you have to go to a Steel FC to make yourselves
now,
bigger
he was
and
speaking
better.
As a true son of St. Louis, yeah. What's best for the city?
Yeah, and it was it was fantastic. And you know, and again, credit to him as well. He was the first one to mention us. You know, to give us credit for what we do and what we bring. And HOK, he told a great story about he and his daughter were at a game and went over to Section 8. And his daughter said, Daddy, why does it smell over here? And he said, because those guys have been jumping, dancing, singing, and chanting for the past 90 minutes. Yeah. And, you know, they're aware of what we do. And that was kind of a pleasant surprise. And it was the moment where I kind of started to realize we joke about the old guard not appreciating what we do, and they don't. And I think that was pretty evidenced by the conversations that some of the old guard had. But we realized that the rest of the world is taking notice. That, you know, what we're doing is we're doing some good shit.
Yeah, I think people that come out to the game at St. Louis FC notice the passion, and it's a friendly, you know, passion. I mean, kids come by and bang on the drum and stuff. And it's not an exclusionary thing. We've always said, if MLS is to come, or just if St. Louis FC is to be successful, we're just one corner of a stadium. You know, we need the older people who want to sit down and watch the game. We need the soccer moms bringing their kids out to appreciate, you know, a potential future in the game. We need guys that are on date nights. We need, you know, we need all kinds of fans, and, you know, we're just one small aspect of it.
But we're noticed.
Well, sure.
And that was nice. You know, maybe it's just me being cynical, but I just kind of feel like the old reserve kind of looks down their nose at us a lot of times.
The game has changed since when they were involved in it, and I don't think they always recognize that as a good thing, although I think we all can appreciate soccer is in a much better place now than it was 10 years ago, than it was 20 years ago. But maybe some of those guys don't, you know, maybe they want to hang on to the glory days a little longer than they should. But like Taylor said, embrace history, but, you know, we got to
move on. You can't live in it.
Right.
You've got to make history.
So I like that. Let's make history.
Yeah.
Let's make history. So, I don't know. That's all I really had from the TED Talk, other than great food and beer.
It was nice to hang out, get the band back together, wasn't it?
It was. It was. You realize how much you missed everybody. The guys from Madrinas were there.
In and out coffee and
debuting the new drinks, and the caramel is fantastic.
My wife liked the black iced coffee, ice brewed,
she
whatever
likes
it was.
Black.
She likes it black.
Okay.
But no, she doesn't like some of the sweeter things, and this was like a no sugar added, and she was in love with it.
I'll admit I added a little creamer to mine upstairs when I had it. I think the all black was a little bit too much for me, but the caramel was glorious. It's right up there with the mocha and the vanilla.
I gave one to Erica, and Erica said, oh, I like this black one. I like my coffee like I like my men. And I said, what, black? And she said, no, tied up in a bag and dragged through the mountains. All right.
I like that girl.
She had a rough weekend. She needs a drink.
Or 12.
Yeah.
We can get her some drinks. We'll take care of Erica.
Well, speaking of drinks, we have a plan for drinks.
We do.
On March 6th, we're all going to get together.
Yeah. I'll probably drink a few that day. A
few dozen.
Our AGM is fast approaching.
What's an AGM?
Annual General Meeting.
Thanks, Kyle.
We're going to get together on March 6th at ITAP Soulard, and we encourage everyone to come, even if you're not particularly a Luligan. We're going to do a lot of talking. We're going to have a good meeting about things like tailgating, things like game day events.
TIFOs.
TIFO, if you want to be involved in some of the TIFO projects we're working on.
Away trips.
We're going to talk about road trips. We're going to talk about watch parties where we don't take a trip, but we'll still get together and watch the games. Charity events. We're going to, obviously, last year was a huge success charity-wise with the Pizzagate, but we're going to move on and do different things this year. So just kind of get on the ground floor, find out what it's all about. And, you know, like I said, even if you're not going to sit in the corner, it'll still be good to be there. Dale, the head coach, will be there. Jeremy, the GM, will be there. And several players are going to be there. So, you know, just come out, meet some people, get to know what's going on.
I talked to Dave Corbett a little bit at the TED Talks, and in order to raise funds for the drums, we're going to raffle off a drum head. I think we decided that it's going to be the PWICB one.
Okay. And that's signed by the team, right?
That is signed by the team.
And we also have a signed jersey.
Yes, we do. The raffle tickets for the drum head, this one's going to be a little more pricey because it is something incredibly special because there's only one PWICB drum head. It'll be $5 for your ticket. We'll do $5 for $20. So you can, you know, increase your chances.
Madden just heard 420.
Malia just heard raffle.
Yeah. But this is going to go to the, you know, the guys spent a lot of money on keeping those drums up to date and new heads. And
yeah, the new heads look great. If you haven't seen them, they've got new graphics this year. New custom.
They all look the same. They look sharp.
But it's a new custom St. Luligan's drum corps logo that Ryan Malshak cranked out, and it's amazing.
And that shit costs money. Yes. So, you know, bring some dollars, bring some $5.
And then we'll do the shirt auction, too. That's a home shirt from last year signed by the entire squad. And I think the proceeds from that will go to the park restoration fund.
So bring some cash. Bring cash. If you don't bring cash, I will have the credit card reader. And so, you know, you can hide it from the wife or the husband and not tell them
we'll
how much
put it
spending.
Under lap dances.
Yeah, I was going to put it under drugs.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, it depends on who it is.
Sure, lap dances and drugs. In addition to all of that, ITAP will have some specials for us, some local brews, and Mission Taco and Atomic Subs Pizza will also be what?
Atomic Subs.
Atomic. Epic Pizza.
I was like, where did Atomic come from?
I don't know. Epic Pizza and Subs, they have sandwiches, will also be right there attached to ITAP, so you can get your grub on, too.
We're going to eat and drink a lot.
Yes, and before the whole meeting starts, there's the U.S. Women's National Team having a game, so come a little early, you know, watch Mitch drag cables around and set things up, and watch me say, do you need a beer, Mitch?
Watch Mitch say, yes, I do.
And that's the only thing I do is fetch beers.
So. I'll be on a plane.
And
so.
You put it on my tab usually. So that's
yeah.
Won't be there.
Sadly, Matt Bird will not be there, so he won't find out about all the great things we're doing.
I won't. I'll be like, you'll all be off on a bus to Oklahoma City, and I'll have missed it.
Yep.
Because I didn't put my name down.
That's right. So, nah, we'll reserve a spot for you. But you better have your membership dues paid by then.
Yeah. Well, the room is out, is it? The room is out for membership dues.
Yep, they're going up.
Wait till the emails start rolling in.
Gonna be gonna be expensive, let me tell you.
Yep, and you'll have to wait until March 6th.
Okay, don't panic. Seriously. Yep. You're gonna create a mad rush, Brad. No. This is not a funny joke.
It's kind of funny.
Two times zero is still zero.
Yeah, we're doubling it.
Yeah. Seriously, how many people ask what time the event is at?
Yeah.
They're not gonna.
That's true.
They're not gonna get two times zero.
Right. Well, Steven, it's at 6.
So, someone has already like stopped listening to the pod and sworn they're never coming back because we're raising our membership dues.
We will be posting tomorrow a article written by Mr. Carriker himself, Claude Carriker.
Yes.
About the AGM. I think it's a great...
That was their first time coming out to meet us, wasn't it?
Yes,
Claude
it was.
Michelle?
Yes. That's what he wrote a nice little perspective on coming out on that first time.
We met a lot of good friends that day, and they turned out to be big helps in the Luligan adventure.
So, you know, if you're one of those people that's on the fence, read his article and see if it resonates and get your ass to ITAP.
There you go. Ta-da. I guess
that's
we
not
should
a very good sound effect.
We should talk right now. St. Louis FC, they are in Charlotte.
They are in Charleston. Right?
I did that on purpose all that right. time. Yeah. So no, I get Charlotte and Charleston confused. But yes,
just say the Carolinas. Just they're in the Carolinas. But me and Sarah and I know a couple of other guys went out to the training sessions that they had in Collinsville this week. You know they. They're out there doing drills, doing their thing. It was nice to see them back on the field.
Jeremy said that the first day they came in, they did some meetings, and they did all the photos that they have to do, you know, for player
headshots
and stuff. And, you know, everybody was, you know, excited to be back or whatever, but Jeremy and Dale both said when they got on the actual field, everybody was like, now we're starting, you know.
Yeah.
The sitting around the banquet tables and talking about different things, yeah, that's important, but they wanted to be out there kicking the ball, and so now they are.
So how'd they look, Mr. Bird?
I thought they looked pretty rusty. I've got to be honest. It was the first day.
Right.
It was the first day. They looked pretty rusty, and you know, they got to blow away the cobwebs and stuff, which is only natural, I presume. Sam and Musa weren't training. They were doing runs around they were doing laps around the field, and, you know, it was just preseason. It was just nice, though, it was just nice to see them back at it. And
well, and I mean, we've talked before. This little road trip's probably good for them. Get away,
a bonding experience,
bond a little bit, and play some soccer. They've got a bunch of little mini games set up with different squads, and they're going to have a couple official preseason games. So I think it's great. And
weather will be a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, as we're speaking, there's supposed to be a massive snowstorm moving in, so they won't miss that.
And
wouldn't want Dixon to go into like some sort of climate shock coming from the beaches of Jamaica, where his idea of drinking coconut water was literally chopping off the top of a coconut. I showed my wife that, and she goes, "That's probably better than the stuff I buy in the carton at this grocery store."
Yes,
you know.
Yes, it is.
So.
And like you said, too, it's a good chance for them all to really get a good feel for each other. After last year, they already had, you know, the existing guys already had it, but now we've got a couple new additions. Mr. Herrera was out there, I think I saw.
Yeah, and I spoke to Chad Bond a little. We've got to get him on the podcast. He is the nicest guy. You know,
we're going to try to ruin that? Or
what?
We're going to try to change him? Or
But seriously.
Yeah, and he's got his own cheering section, the Bond Squad,
you know,
out there. Follow him on Twitter.
Wait till the ladies have already seen his picture. Wait till they hear his soft South Welsh accent as well. He will be a firm favorite, I'll tell you.
Well, there he
says the British man on the couch.
I don't sound like him. I sound like a welder compared to him.
I didn't know welders sounded some way, but okay.
Gruff, I think the phrase is gruff.
You sound like the prettiest woman at the Liverpool docks.
It's funny because it's true.
Just kidding for my Liverpool fans.
No, you're not.
In addition to this little trip to, where is it again? Charleston?
Carolinas.
Charleston?
South Carolina.
They're also having a preseason game against Indy 11 in Evansville coming up.
Yeah, it's gonna be, that's going to be fun. There's a fair old few of us going to that as well. I was surprised with all the yays.
And on a Wednesday night, yeah.
But I think that's how up for it we are again. It's been a long off season. And
Evansville's up for it too. Their AO chapter is going nuts because they want some professional soccer in Evansville too. So they're excited to have both us and the Brickyard Battalion or Slaughterhouse 19 from
Indiana. You know, and they may be hoping that Evansville's big enough for an NPSL team.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's big enough for a PDL team. That you know, they're trying to show that there's a market there for something.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it's going to be a well attended game, and obviously the college is getting on board too, tweeting a lot of stuff, and you know, So I think you guys are going to have fun. I wish,
but
I
it's
could
kinda
go.
But it's kind of good to see how excited they are to watch professional soccer. It kind of takes you back to how we were last year, you know. But Indy 11 are going to be no joke. It's going to be a tough game.
No, it will. I mean.
Well, and that's what you want in the preseason. You want some challenges. You want to, you know, I know we try to play a variety of different teams. I mean, but you do want to be challenged. You don't just want to walk over people in the preseason, you know, playing, you know, junior colleges or whatever. But speaking of preseason games, they are going to announce a few more next week, Jeremy said.
Yeah.
So when they get back, they'll have a couple more, hopefully a couple options for us to go out and see them before the season starts.
No, I'm needing it.
Yep.
It's just like seeing those pictures from you guys this weekend. I was angry at myself. I didn't go watch training. I was like, I should have gotten up earlier and gone. It was just, I'm like a drug addict. You know, the taste has got me. I'm ready to go back.
And some of the guys are already players. I'm talking about getting after it on Twitter. You know, the banter's starting back up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Taka, you know, talking about, you know, can't wait to get back and play for us. And, you know. It's nice to see the guys starting to, you know, they had their off season, took some time away, but they're as excited as we are. Plus, they're getting paid for it.
Yeah. But I know we were optimistic last season, but I really do have the good vibes. I really do have the good vibes this year.
I mean it this year.
Yeah.
It's just like in Star Wars when somebody always says, yeah. I've got a bad feeling about this.
You know.
No, I mean, I'm...
Even Sunderland fans have hope.
Villa fans don't.
Oh, my goodness. They are dreadful.
They lost to their U21 team today.
3-0. It wasn't even close. It was 3-0.
And, you know, if I was the owner, I'd be like, send the kids out.
We're done.
I mean...
Can't do any worse.
At least get them some experience.
Wow.
I don't know. But as with all of our sports teams, every offseason is another... time to reset and say, here we go.
And we got the whole West, you know, this year is going to be interesting. I think we'll do better in the West than we did in the East. I think the facilities are better. The travel will be a problem, but such is life. That,
well, I think it helps that we've got Oklahoma and Tulsa, which are closer.
It's a weird mix. We have some closer teams than we had last year.
Yeah.
But then so the farther ones are farther. So it's
the law of averages, I think, works in our favor, but it's still.
And the West, the schedule in the West is kind of messed up that it's not balanced. You know, the East are doing the traditional home and away against everyone, plus their rival games. We're not even doing that.
It wasn't really balanced last year.
Because
you had Rochester play Montreal twice, and where Montreal were Montreal. And, you know, you had us. Me, us and Louisville going at it, and
that's true. It's hard whenever you've got conferences or leagues this big to make it all work, and they're trying to appease different groups. So we'll see how it goes. I'm excited to see what the West has to offer for us.
And once we have a Central, we'll be the only team to play in all three divisions.
That's right. Which, you know, as they keep expanding, it's looking more and more like it. I mean...
It's setting itself up so nicely for it, and
you know we're probably not far away. You know, if FC Dallas gets its own two team, and a Minnesota two, and a Chicago Fire eventually are going to have their two. That's three teams right there in the Central.
So we'll see how it goes.
I'm all for it. I like it.
I am really interested to see how this the Houston Dynamo Rio Grande experiment goes, because I think that would be an ideal way. for two teams to work in the future, because we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Montreal is competing against their own
fan base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to try to get, if you're picking one way or the other, well, I'd rather go see the big team than the little team. So I think pushing the B teams out of the major market, still close enough to keep an eye on them. And,
But there's no reason. I know they've picked Swope Park, but there's no reason that couldn't be in Wichita or Topeka.
Or Springfield.
Or Springfield. Yeah. Or, you know, there's big soccer markets all over. Mm-hmm. So, and maybe they will eventually. Like I said, we'll see how the Houston thing works out. And I think if it's positive, you'll see more B teams being pushed out.
I really hope it is. I think it's a great idea. Yeah.
Close enough you can keep an eye on them, you know, whatever, but...
But they've also got their own identity.
They've
got their own fans.
They can develop their own fan base. And you can also push your brand to a farther market. Maybe people in Rio Grande didn't know which MLS team to root for. Well, now they've got a reason to pick Houston.
Well, they supported Monterrey, actually.
Well, good point. Yeah. Take some of the fans away from Liga MX.
It works.
But there's also something about, you know, sending a player down.
Yeah.
You know, you're going down to such and such a
place. Yeah, if you don't move your locker at all, it's not that big a punishment.
If you don't have to live out of a suitcase.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see how that experiment
goes. But
just
saying, Chicago players, if you do come here, you're not being sent down. You're being sent to
you're actually getting promoted, I think.
And it's at least a lateral move.
Yeah.
we didn't talk about that. I don't know if you guys really care to, because it's not really our beat, but Chicago Fire got rid of Harry Shipp. That was surprising to me.
Was the Chicago Fire doing Chicago Fire things?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was an exciting young player that had some creative potential, and now he's not there.
I've heard reports that he may have been a little on the overrated side. But
well, I think anybody in MLS tends to be overrated if you have any talent. I mean, don't forget Freddie Adu was the next Pele.
Yeah, sure. But I think the thing is that he's that homegrown player that
grew up cheering for the Fire.
Right. I mean, this is the identity that you want to have, even if he's going to be a second role player. You know, having that guy come off the bench, even,
yeah,
that's our guy. If you're the fan, this is, you know, he's one of us. And
well, and it's not like if they were winning and they made this move, then maybe you give the ownership and the general manager the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they know best, but they're not winning anything, and he was one of the fan favorites. Again, you can't let the fans run your team, but you have to be cognizant of the fact you're kind of down right now.
And he wasn't hurting them.
No, I mean, he definitely wasn't hurting them.
There was an article out, I can't remember who put it out, but they basically said if you're in MLS for 2 years and you don't prove yourself, the team will move you on, because you're not owned by the team, you're owned by a corporate office in New York.
Yeah.
They've got nothing invested in you.
But this kid's a little different.
I think so, he is.
He played for their PDL team. Yeah. He, you know, had played in their academy system, such as it is. I mean, it's probably just a youth league, but...
But I think more to what I was talking about was maybe Alec Khan. You know, Alec Khan was there a couple of years, played one game, and then they moved him on. And they brought in the Sacramento keeper.
Right.
So they got rid of Alec Khan and brought in another Alec Khan. For you know, it doesn't seem...
They're disposable.
Yeah.
And I read that article you're talking about. I can't remember who wrote it, but that was basically the tenor of it. They're just disposable assets, mm-hmm. and they don't take any personal, you know, like in baseball, if you draft a kid and you put him in your minor league system and you keep an eye on him and you watch him come up, you know what I mean? There's an ownership there. And
well, yeah, and even going to, I think maybe even a better example is the hockey with the Canadian minors, or, you know, with the majors and stuff like that, where you can dictate where that kid goes and plays. You know, if he's playing for Oshawa and you think he's better, you know, better suited to go play in Moose Jaw, you know, you can orchestrate that move to happen because it's your investment in the player.
Yeah.
And the same thing in the MLS. They should be doing that where it's like, hey, you know, you've been playing at, you know, STLFC, and that's a good fit for you, or let's get you into, you know, whatever. You know, maybe you need time in the PDL first. They can make these decisions better for the player's future instead of just letting it throw away.
And I'm going to bring something up, and I before I say it, I want to preface this. I'm not being anti-MLS, but these are the issues we talk about with MLS.
Yeah.
Things like now Obafemi Martins making the move to China.
heard that Darren Mattox is going as well to China.
I want to know how much Seattle's going to get, because they're not going to recoup any allocation money, because technically they sold him for less than they bought him for.
Well, how much money will the Red Bull get from Matt Miazga?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a real question. I know there's like a percentage. Some of the transfer fee goes to the league.
Yeah.
Some of the percentage goes to the team. But it seems like it's different every transfer they make, you know, and which goes to the transparency of the league. We've always said there needs to be rules that everyone knows before it goes
that
into
everyone
it.
Follows.
Right. So, I mean.
But, I mean, fair play to Louisville. If they get money off Jacksonville for Fondi, they get that money.
Right, right.
You know, because that's their guy, and they had him under contract.
Right.
And that's one thing I love about this league is that these are our players. They are contracted to an office.
They're not contracted to USL.
Yeah, they're contracted to Jeremy's right. office in Fenton.
Right.
They're our guys. They're not, you know, disposable.
Speaking of Jeremy's office.
Yeah, let's do some updates on the park. Let me see. Tom Florent and Ryan Ching both wanted to know on Twitter, and Jeremy just so happened to send us a text before the podcast started about what improvements are going on at the park.
I did see on Twitter today, Petcher put out that the Field 2 got laid down and they were putting the pellets down today.
Yeah.
When you're putting the pellets down, it's good to go.
Yeah, Field 1 was laid, was it late last week?
Late last week, like Thursday, I think.
So it's looking good. Field 2, and I know 3 and 5 were the other two that they're working on still.
I think so.
The fan shop, they've been working on the fan shop. So if their fan shop is ever open, we can go see that it's been repaired. Long time joke. The sales office is being completed.
Did the flood wash away all their inventory?
I think so.
Do about $20 worth of damage?
Yes, there's only size small left after the flood.
It's washed away all two mediums.
Yes. The sales office is expected to be back in on Friday of this week. They've been working out of temporary offices at Worldwide Technology. When the team comes back next week from their...
The Carolinas
trip.
I'm watching Brad's brow furrow trying to think of what it is. And then
the locker rooms will be completed. So, and we've seen the ballrooms already done. They've had a couple meetings in there. So it's looking good. Looking like everything's on track to be finished at the park.
That makes me so happy. It really does. Yeah, after seeing how bad it was.
And they said it was going to be, but you still thought, it's going to be tight. But it looks like everything's going to be done. So
yeah, I understand there's cases of beer writing on this. So
yes, there are front office bets going around as to what the completion date will be and payoffs will be made.
As long as the payoffs are shared with the best podcast about the team.
I think so. Remember that, Petch.
it's good to see. I mean,
yeah, the pictures look good.
It helps.
If you didn't know there was a flood, you'd be like, there's no difference here now.
No, yeah, I mean.
They were going to replace the main field anyway, but the field's going to look better than we saw it last.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And it just kind of helps. It's, you know, it's that moment where you say, okay, the field's ready. We're that much closer. It's kind of the, I don't want to say unveiling moment, but it's the, you know.
We've still got like 7 weeks to the first game anyway. Right.
But
so
pulling the curtains away on it.
But it's just nice that, you know, after what we went through, they're not going to miss a beat. So, good job. Congrats to all the St. Louis Scott Gallagher people who've been working out there and all the volunteers. And
Now just win
some games.
That's all I care about.
Let's do some more questions from people on Twitter and Facebook. Malia and Matt Johnson both wanted to know about road trips, and I told them quite simply, come to the AGM. We'll announce.
Matt Johnson's not
coming. That's a hell of a trip from Minnesota.
Matt, we'll send him an email. But the AGM, we're going to talk about all of the road trips that we're planning on making and how we're going to do that and get you on a list of people who are interested.
We will be running a lot of that stuff through our website.
Right.
So that people will actually be, when you commit, you're committing.
Right.
You know, last year we had people pull out at the last week or so and you know, it screwed other people that wanted to go. So we want to try to get people cemented. So,
and there will be, you know, limited availability on buses and things like that. So, you know, we're going to need commitments to make that happen.
We'll have a seat for Joe Boo.
And Joe Boo will always have a seat. Dan Doak wanted to know, this was an interesting question. He wanted to know about Section 8, you know, if we're all out partying, having a good time at the tailgate, and it, people are sitting there before we get there, what are we going to do? And as a matter of fact, Mark, our security guard, you guys know Mark, he raised that very question. So we're working with the team to figure out a way to make sure Section 8 is reserved and people aren't in there, or if they are, you know, maybe people that have trouble walking, can't do the march, stuff like that. But people will know there's a big group coming and they're all going to sit here. So, you know, if you want to, if you want to stand and fight the fight the crowd, that's you. But
they've got those signs up there saying, you know, this is a sports section, you know.
But last year people were confused because their ticket said general admission and they said, well, we want to sit here, you know, and they're trying to tell them, yeah, but 500 people are coming and you're in their spot. Well, my ticket says, you know, I don't care what your ticket says, you know.
Well, if your ticket says Section 7.
Last year, they were just general admission. So
were they?
We don't know how it's going to be listed this year either, but we're working on it.
Tasers. That's my answer. I think we give Mark a taser, and if people sit there, they get a warning, and if they don't move, zap.
Yes. Mark,
I mean, but it's a touchy thing because I remember last year, I think it was the first game, that the game against Pittsburgh, a kid showed up behind me, like, and then he texted his friend, and two of his friends showed up, and then the game's going on, and they're texting their friends, and the next minute, there's like 20 kids from a group that stood there, and I told them where to go, and in theory, I said, clear off, guys, this is not your section, but in theory, you know, I actually felt bad in hindsight, because they're the next generation. You don't want to be telling them to leave. You ought to be saying, okay, now you're here, sing along.
Well, but at the same time, you know, we've said it before about kids. Look, kids are welcome, but I want their parents there to see what's going on. Because if that kid goes home and says, oh, I heard a bunch of F-bombs at the game.
Well, they go home stinking in beer.
Right, they get a beer spilled on them after a goal or something. You know, it's a fine line, but we'll continue to work it and see how it goes.
If we're winning, it doesn't matter.
That's true.
That's really all it comes down to.
Way to go, fucking kid! Derek wanted me to mention that the American Outlaws FIFA tournament, EA Sports FIFA, is going on at Amsterdam this weekend. I think that's on Sunday?
I thought it was Saturday.
It's not going to be Sunday because United play Arsenal. It's the Capital One Cup.
Oh, yes. It'll be Saturday.
Yeah, I thought it was Saturday.
So go to the AO page to find out more about that, but they have a few spots left open, I do believe. So if you're a FIFA person, and I think they run both PS4 and Xbox One, so if you have a preference, they can...
2 o'clock on Saturday.
There you go. Mitch looked it up in his fancy Google machine. Okay, this was probably the biggest question, and I did discuss it on Facebook a little bit today, and, you know, we can get your guys' opinion.
People liking their own posts?
Yeah, that was my personal...
Oh, my bad.
M-I-L-Y-B. What happens to St. Louis FC if MLS comes? This was from Lucas Dykhouse, and there are various scenarios, but, I mean, what's your guys' feeling on... I mean, my thing is, first and foremost, we would hope St. Louis FC is the team that becomes the MLS team.
Yes.
Will a USL team survive? Will it be a two-team?
It'd have to be a two-team. I don't think St. Louis is a big enough market to have an MLS team and a USL team. An independent USL team.
Yeah, that's my point. And
I think it would have to. I think it would be an MLS two-team.
Do you think it would, or do you think they would just fold it, or...
Or may they may move it to Colombia, or
that
or
would be my thing.
Whatever
I would like it to move a little further out, you know. Mm-hmm. But
Springfield, Illinois, or something.
Something, yeah. So that's kind of my thoughts on it.
Move it to Louisville.
if for some reason Jim Cavanaugh and the current ownership of St. Louis FC is not included in an MLS thing, which I still think they will be, but if not, I could see them folding. I don't think Jim Cavanaugh has any desire to own a team anywhere other than St. Louis.
I would agree with that.
You know, I don't think he would move it to Columbia and become the two team.
It would be an Atlanta situation.
Yeah, it really would. I think so.
And that's have to be honest with everyone. That is the majority of my anti-MLS concerns, is that the people that support this team will lose their team.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they will get a new team, but it will not be the same.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, we could even say the Chivas fans, you know, the Black Brigade or whatever they're called. I can't remember.
That's racist.
Yes. You know, they are going to come back for Los Angeles FC 2 or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still not the same, you know, and that's the same thing for the Silverbacks, the Atlanta Ultras. They may, you know, make the journey over to Atlanta United and become fans, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, I'm with you on that.
I mean, if St. Louis gets MLS, then I will go where my friends go. I will go support the team that my friends support the team. But it's not just because you've got a team doesn't mean it's the same. You would never tell the Rams fans to go watch, you know, the River City Raiders at the Family Arena. You wouldn't say, hey, you've still got a team, they play arena football down the street.
Yeah.
You'd get laughed at. And I know it's not the same situation, but I would have to think if St. Louis FC aren't involved and MLS comes to town like what happened in Atlanta, that they would just shut the doors and go, you know, it would have been usurped.
Well, because, I mean, it would be a Montreal situation where they're getting 100 – you know, friends and family to come out and watch the game. I mean, some of us would still go probably, but I mean, it doesn't become a viable, you know, situation anymore.
It's dead in the water.
They're not looking to win, they're looking to develop, even as an MLS2 team. That it's
right.
Not the same.
So, yeah, ideally St. Louis FC becomes that MLS team and maybe they keep a B team.
Yeah.
And maybe it's in Fenton for a little while, but maybe they eventually push it out farther. Because
mm-hmm.
I still think it's a nice gap between the Gallagher youth organization, then to a USL team, and then to an MLS team.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's be honest, though, too. I don't think after the situation, or after Atlanta, I don't know if the MLS is really going to, you know, circumvent the current people as well.
They learned their lesson with Minnesota. And they did the right thing.
Except for the naming thing.
Well,
we can get to that. Yeah. But I agree. I think Atlanta is a big enough city where it's a big enough city where they can just do that.
But Minnesota, though, they were talking about going with
yes,
the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
Yes, they were.
And there was enough passion and enough outpouring of grief from the Minnesota United community that MLS realized, we can't do that. We're going to piss these people off.
You know, St. Louis is more a market like Minneapolis rather than a big
yeah.
city like Atlanta.
Well, and I mean, we can talk about part of Atlanta's problem was the ownership was never stable with
uh-huh.
the Silverbacks. I still think Blank should have done a better job. Blank could have made a deal with the guy and said, look, you will be my two team. Let's work together here. You know, it could have been handled much, much better.
Yeah.
And MLS did not help at all. They just ran roughshod over the whole thing. So
now, and when you're the only game in town, it kind of ends up happening. But I genuinely think that they learned a valuable lesson out of this. They did it right in Minnesota, after all.
Yeah.
You know, and Atlanta is still, there's a lot of people that are very tender about the subject. So
yeah.
I don't think they're going to ostracize our current group. And let's also be honest, too. We're also talking about somebody that is one of those big heavy hitters who he would be involved if anybody that had any sort of legitimacy wanted to put a team here for MLS,
yeah,
he'd be talking to Cavanaugh anyway.
That's true.
I mean, you couldn't ignore him. He's
right.
Got
even
enough
if
of
he
a presence.
Even if he hadn't started St. Louis FC,
they'd be
his involvement with Gallagher would put him to the top of the list anyway. So
exactly, and the checkbook.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the name gate. The MLS doing MLS things, as we like to say.
Yeah. Just keep the name.
In case you don't know what we're talking about, it came out that MLS is looking like they're going to force Minnesota United to change their name. They've decided there's three Uniteds is one too many.
What it was that DC United basically had a deal where they were the only United. You know, in the whole spectrum of names and rebrands.
This is going back to 96, yes, when they started the league.
But even so, with all the rebrands like the SKCs and FC Dallas and Dallas Burn, that DC were the only United. And I think Atlanta came along and made a deal where they were going to be another United. So you got two Uniteds. And now Minnesota is being elevated out of NASL up to MLS, and they're Minnesota United. And
they're united for a reason. They've had three different teams that have folded, been bought. The whole community has come together to support these teams, and in all of their various incarnations, and when I forget the guy's name, the doctor who owns Minnesota United, when he bought them, they rebranded as United, and he said, look, we're going to take all the fans from the Minnesota Thunder, from the Minnesota Stars, from the Minnesota NSC complex or whatever they were, and we are going to be Minnesota United. And you add in the fact that it's Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Yeah.
They're uniting the two cities in this group, too.
You know,
Dr. McGuire.
It's, at the end of the day, it is just a name. Alexi Lalas said that, you know, DC and Atlanta have staked their claim first. But it wasn't, because Don Garber stood there 8 months ago with a Minnesota United scarf.
And that was before Atlanta announced what their name was going to be, which, again, they say it was a fan poll, but it was rigged. I mean, they wanted that name to be United.
It's just an MLS again. It's the whole, you lose your independence when you get swallowed up by this corporate machine, you know? And
I read a Dark Clouds article about it and how they feel about the name, and I hazard a guess it'd be the same way we'd feel. We're going to love our team no matter what. But the fact that they have had many identities and they've rebranded every 2 or 3 years for a while, they've now finally got this. They're on their big push to go up. Everything they're selling says Minnesota United. You know, every letterhead, everybody knows United in Minnesota.
And it's been United for a while.
And now to make them change it, it's dirty.
Yeah, but, you know, if I lost to St. Louis FC on penalties in the Open Cup, I'd want to change my name too.
And we will say, they're going to keep their logo. They're going to keep the loon. Uh-huh. They're going to keep their silver and blue colors. I mean, their marketing is out of sight.
But see, that's the other thing. If you're keeping all that,
right,
you're keeping the name. I mean, it's
stupid.
It's petty.
It's Bush League. The
thing is, Minnesota United are the customers. They're the ones paying the money here.
Right.
It doesn't make no sense. They're the customer. Demand it.
Yeah, if they wanted to be the Minnesota Pink Flamingos, he's writing the check.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But, I don't know, I guess you could say the same for Atlanta. I don't really have a problem with three Uniteds.
No,
I mean, we've talked about, look across the world.
Newcastle, Manchester, West Ham.
Yeah. There's tons of them. Sheffield. I mean, there's tons of Uniteds. So, it doesn't bother me.
And the thing is,
it's a branding thing in America, but
I guess my problem is that, you know, Minnesota being called United was a legitimate uniting.
Right.
Did DC really unite anything?
Well, I'll give it to DC because they're the first whatever. Atlanta has the weakest of the three claims.
In fact, if anything, Atlanta did the exact opposite of unite. They actually severed the soccer fans.
Yeah, right. Atlanta's actually killed two NASL clubs, but that's right.
Yeah, I mean, so let's be honest. They're not Atlanta United. They're Atlanta Divisive.
Yeah.
I still think Minneapolis St. Pauli. So that'll be a great name.
Yeah.
But I mean, if St. Louis FC makes the jump up, and then Don Garber says, actually, you know, we've got FC Dallas and we've got, you know, LAFC, we're going to have to change your name. You'd be like, dude, really?
I mean, yeah, it's stupid. Yeah. I mean, again, it's MLS. Making an issue where there really isn't
Correct.
One. It's like you've got enough headaches to deal with mm-hmm. about legitimacy and transparency. Are we really going to make this an issue that you take the fans on about?
But you know what as well? Having this issue means that people aren't talking about the fact that we're not developing players.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a valid point
we're talking about the wrong things, but maybe they
promote talking about the wrong thing. So we're not talking about the fact that we can't develop world-class players anymore.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so
or they're going to China.
Yeah, or things like that. You know, they're using these trivial matters to hide what's really an issue. So I don't know.
He's more Machiavellian than me, but the MLS planned this out.
I know.
Let's have a controversy.
I also find it funny that the guy who's from England with the English FA having similar shit shows.
Yeah.
Oh, we're terrible. Yeah. I mean, I'll be, you think I'm anti-MLS, that the EPL is a complete and utter hyperbole.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. But it's acceptable because it's, you know, it's the only game in town in England, so to speak. So it's, you know.
Well, and that's the whole thing. I mean, we can talk about all these various issues and, you know, your best friend, Tinfoil Ted, and his attacks on MLS. But if we did truly have world-class talent out there, you wouldn't be able to complain about it so much. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. Yeah.
So Ted's going to keep railing until we develop a Messi.
But the thing is as well, I mean, you are adamant we are not getting promotion or relegation. And I tend to agree with you to a certain.
And not because I don't want it.
No,
I want it.
Exactly.
But.
And that's how I feel about universal healthcare. I know that the insurance companies are not going to let me have it, but I'll still bang that drum.
Right.
And, you know, so Ted's from Colorado, so we might see him.
There we go. Well, no, and I mean, I think people like Ted are good for the community, you know, raising that voice. But sometimes it's like, I don't have time to be outraged about everything, you know?
Well, the thing is with Ted, and, you know, I should ask him for his opinion on this, but...
No, we can't have him on the podcast.
No, I know. But... he was the first to make it acceptable to question what's going on. You know, people slammed me last year and the year before for getting on Daryl Duran's case and the ambushes case because no one else was doing it.
Yeah.
More people came along and started questioning Duran, and I kind of stepped back, also because you told me to. Now, but once other people have taken up the mantle and run with it, you know, there's... Ted's not the only guy out there pushing.
He's not
agenda.
A lone voice in the wilderness like he was at one time.
Yeah, but
he is the loudest and craziest voice.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, I mean, let's not pull punches.
No, I think he's crazy. But he makes some good points. Just because you're crazy doesn't mean you're wrong.
No, but when you go about it in the manner he does...
He offends people and alienates himself.
But there's also the issue that if you support a lower league team, you must be for an open pyramid. Well, the two aren't mutually exclusive.
Right.
You can support your club and support this other thing over here.
Right.
And also, if we get MLS, I'll still be for promotion and relegation.
They're
not mutually exclusive.
No, I that's what I'm saying. I'm totally on board with the theory, the philosophy, you know, the reality of promotion and relegation. And I'm not saying it's never going to happen just because, you know, my team can't do it. You know, and if St. Louis gets in that echelon of MLS teams, it would be hypocritical of me to say, well, now we don't need it.
Yeah.
You know, we do need it, but needing it, wanting it, isn't always good enough.
Well, and
it's like the Lamborghini. You want it, but you're never going to get one. So.
Right. So why spend my days figuring out the budget?
And let's be honest, in the American sports landscape, it's not set up for – that's just not even on the table because of the capitalism side of it. Guys spend – you know, let's –
Well, there's socialism and closed markets for the ultra-rich, and there's rugged individualism down below for the OC Blues of the world.
Right, absolutely. And that's exactly it, is that they don't want to cross-pollinate that at all. You stay on your side, and I stay on mine. The guys that – you know, let's use Robert Kraft. I mean, the guy's a ridiculous billionaire.
Yeah.
He put in a lot of money when this league was not profitable.
He lost a lot of money on MLS.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to really be honest, he's in the hole hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't blame him for not wanting to go down because he's invested. That being said, I also think that if he gets tired of his play toy and doesn't put anything into it and lets them fester in a 60,000-seat football stadium...
He shouldn't be rewarded for that.
Right, exactly.
However... What MLS wants to do right now with people like Kraft and the Hunts of the world
is that they want to hold back the teams like, say, Montreal and LA Galaxy, who want to go splash the cash, and they want to they want the shackles off so they could go fly.
The newer teams want to play, and
right,
the older
right.
teams are holding them hostage a little bit. I agree with that.
No, I agree. I agree totally, and I think that's the dichotomy that they're going to have an internal fight with in a terrible sense, because
it started with the players' agreement. Not too long ago, the CBA, the players wanted higher salaries. Some of the owners agreed and were pushing the players to stick to your guns quietly, you know, but there are owners that have lots of money that want to pay more players to come and play.
And if the intensity of the league increases and then they get better players and you know, if the pressure is ramped up, then the advertising dollars will come in as well, you know.
I don't want it to be a free-for-all. I don't want it to be, but you can still have a salary cap, but a higher salary cap.
And a floor, higher floor.
And a floor, exactly.
But the thing is, you kind of can have a free-for-all right now, because if a team folded in 1996, there really wasn't anything around to replace it.
Right.
We've got a lot of teams in this country now that can replace an MLS team at a moment's notice.
Well, and we'll also say there are officially 4 more slots that MLS has opened up, and there are more than 4 cities that want those slots.
Well, that's also the nature of the beast, is that you strangle supply and demand.
Right.
You know, you get 8 cities talking, but only have four opportunities.
Right.
And
it drives up your price conveniently.
But at the same time, you know, if you have... Let's just say we'll use New England again, and I'm just picking on them because Robert Kraft is an insane billionaire. You know, he's got no incentive to make his franchise valuable.
More than that, he's got incentive to keep the salary cap where it is,
right?
Because if it goes up, then he loses more if he doesn't spend.
Correct. Right, right. And meanwhile, somebody coming into the league with a new franchise,
Amerit Paulson in Portland,
yeah, is the exact opposite, where he wants to spend because he wants the value of. He's got that investment of $150 million today. He wants that to be worth $200 million tomorrow.
And it's his pride and joy.
Yeah.
Versus Kraft, who's
the Patriots.
The Patriots are his pride and joy. Right. MLS is something he did as a favor.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. He did a great favor.
I'm not dogging the guy at all, and he would love to lift an MLS Cup trophy, I'm sure.
On a
budget. But he wants to do it for $4 million a year versus $10 million a year.
You know, it's not much different than Mark Cuban was in the NBA 10 years ago.
Wanted to splash his cash
and wanted to
work.
And he did. And the you know.
Some of the older owners didn't like that very much.
But we're also losing money in the fact that a lot of American owners who want to splash the cash are going and buying teams like Roma.
Yeah.
And you know, they're looking at buying Everton right now. You know, the risk and reward is greater in Europe, and we're losing possible investors over here because we're not set up right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That said, support your local team. no matter what league they're in.
But the thing is,
exactly.
But it's a thing, you know, if you look at the teams that, we'll use Portland. Portland did everything right from the beginning, that they were, you know, filling the stands. They were putting out a competitive product. They were making it a hot ticket. When you keep doing that, the value rises, and by the same nature, you know, having a Vancouver, a Seattle close by, they all profited from each other's competitiveness, from their each other's drive, where all three of those franchises were going to be super valuable coming into MLS. If the people around you are busting ass and you keep up with them, the benefit is.
Well, and let's also talk about, we were talking about promotion relegation, and, you know, Peterson in the NASL, you know, he came out again this week saying, you know, we'll never have freedom until there's promotion relegation. I mean, he's just playing devil's advocate at this point. If NASL was the top league in the United States, I doubt if he'd be, you know, chomping at the bit for promotion relegation. And the NASL is not a panacea. I mean, the Cosmos do whatever the fuck the Cosmos do. And then the rest of the teams,
the Silverbacks get pushed out by the MLS.
They range the gambit from league-owned to, you know, good little franchises like Indy 11 drawing 10,000, doing their business.
Or Ray OKC drawing 7 people.
Right. I mean, but seriously, so we can talk about USL and and let's leave the MLS two teams out of it because they're a little different situation. I think USL's trying to do the right thing. I think MLS is trying to do the right thing. We can argue about whether they're doing it the right way. I think NASL is just trying to survive.
Well, I think at NASL, for me, they need to concentrate more on being a good league rather than a maverick league.
Right.
You know,
they need teams out west. They still don't meet qualifications for Division II. Mm-hmm. They have to get a sanction every year from the United States Soccer Federation. And they're talking about they want to be Division I. You got to be Division II before you can be Division I.
And the thing is, really, I
can't argue with that. They are looking at putting a team in San Francisco, but again, it's San Francisco, and they want to put a team downtown San Francisco. I mean, good luck with that.
You're going to need a billion
serious money.
You're going to need $1 billion just for the real estate.
It'd be cheaper to dredge up the ocean and put a field in unreclaimed land.
But there are markets they could be going after that make sense instead of trying to compete head to head in Oklahoma City with the Energy. I mean, you can't tell me the investors from Rayo Vallecano or whatever it's in Spain thought, we want to be in America, but only Oklahoma City. Yeah. You know, NASL said, we want a team there, so you do that. But they're starting behind the eight ball because they're facing a team that's existed for a couple of years.
It's an interesting dynamic down there. It's an interesting dynamic, and I followed it, and they're going to be a hell of a team.
They just signed, who was it?
Robbie Findlay.
I mean, that's a good player. They're
going to have a hell of a team that no one's going to watch.
I worry for him. I mean,
but if they start winning and the Energy do badly, I mean, I just don't know. I'm glad it's in Oklahoma City and not in St. Louis because I can watch it objectively.
I don't know. Bird, we've only got 1 year with St. Louis FC as fans.
Yeah.
We're all pretty bought in.
Yeah.
If NASL came next year, started a team in St. Louis, called it St. Louis Stars, and played at SLU Stadium downtown.
Correct.
Would you, if St. Louis FC had a couple of bad games, say, well, this weekend I'm going to go see the new St. Louis Stars?
No, but my neighbor and his wife and his 2.4 children.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, the grid are going to watch the Energy.
Right.
That is them. They are the grid. They are Energy. But the family down the street, especially if the family are out west Oklahoma anyway, you know, they've now got a choice. And
if Findlay's scoring buckets of goals.
You don't know. You just don't know.
Right.
I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Not because of Oklahoma isn't a market that can handle two teams. I think it can. So I just don't think Rayo is doing enough. And Rayo is not doing it the right way. We talk about St. Louis doing MLS the right way.
Right.
Oklahoma, this new NASL team in Oklahoma is not doing it the right way. They're in a high school field 15 miles from downtown, and it's just not going to – I just don't see it working.
And to further your point, Mitch and I were very concerned when St. Louis Scott Gallagher was the force behind this new USL team that was coming to St. Louis. I mean, you didn't have sort of the baggage that we have with Gallagher, and anybody who's played club soccer in St. Louis will know what we're talking about. You know, we were like kind of concerned they weren't going to do it the right way. Yeah. Luckily, those concerns have been squashed. I mean, they're doing everything the right way off the field. So,
off the field? I noticed you threw in that little.
Well, we need more wins. That's not it. I'm not, you know, that's not a secret.
But the thing is that you still have to execute.
Right.
And Rayo's doing it right in the signings, but going back to what
Brad said is that they could be doing this in Albuquerque.
Right.
You know,
wide open. Yeah. Tucson.
Yeah.
I mean,
or Vegas.
Wichita.
Or Carson City.
Right.
Or Merced, California. You know.
And
there's tons of places that are that medium-sized market that you could be a big fish in.
And that's what I don't understand, too, is that, you know, you're going to a city that already has. If you go to, and I'm just going to pick on Wichita, for example, because they had a successful indoor soccer team, and I know it's not the same, but, you know, you look at Wichita that once supported a bastardized version of soccer, they obviously had people that were interested then. You could probably get people interested again now.
Yeah.
You'd be the only game in town.
Well, that's the thing.
No baseball, wherever no hockey.
Yeah.
Wherever you go, there are X number of potential soccer fans. You know, Some people you're never going to get to like soccer, and they'll never come. Some are casual, some are diehards, but there's X number, whatever that number is. Putting one team in there, you can go after all of those people. Mm-hmm. Putting two teams, you're fighting over a limited resource, unless we're talking a New York or a Los Angeles.
I understand.
I don't know that Oklahoma City is big enough.
I don't know, but it's a similar size market to ours. Maybe it's a little smaller, but we're in the same ball field, and it's nice to be able to objectively watch what's happening.
Sure. I get your point about it could be good. It could be interesting.
If they are both viable teams in their own right.
If they're both thriving, then awesome.
Yeah, and it will prove that can happen in other cities. And I think more teams...
But if they split their fan base in half and end up killing both teams...
Yeah, that's the worst case scenario.
And it's highly possible. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you have the grid, and they're established and rooted, but like you said, there's a lot of people that aren't. Neither league wants that to happen in the worst way. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, OKC
I don't think NASL cares. I think NASL would look at it a victory if they both died.
But the thing is, NASL...
I do.
No,
I
think, you're right. Oklahoma scud.
I don't know this for sure, but I'm looking at those signings that they're making, and I'm going, they may be propped up by the league. I don't know, but I'm just looking at those signings going, where is this money coming from?
Half the league has been at one point or time. Yeah.
So they can just be prop up that team until the energy, you know, until they kill the energy.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the USL is going to support the energy the same way. I mean,
they can't.
Well, in NASL, to their credit, they can say, hey, MLS came after us and killed Atlanta. Mm-hmm. They've taken our Minnesota jewel. And they're trying to kill the Fort Lauderdale Strikers by putting Beckham FC down in Miami.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Well, they've just put Miami FC down there as well.
Well, yeah, so right there in Miami. So, I mean, you know, the league's fighting isn't...
It's like turf wars.
It's not
like
good
that,
for
know.
Anybody, but...
But the optimist in me would say, you know, two teams in Oklahoma, hopefully they'll thrive. More teams, more soccer, you know, more rivalries. I like the idea of having intra-city rivalries.
It'd be great for a U.S. Open Cup game if they draw each other and they both got equal amount of fans. You know, that would be amazing. But we'll see how it works out.
But it's especially when we go down there on April the 9th, because that's the first time they both teams play at home at the same time.
Yeah.
You know,
we should go down and be like, we're going to check out the Rayo game.
No, but let's be honest.
This isn't the Rayo game. Yeah. Everybody gets back on the bus.
If we went down there and the Rayo game kicked off at 4 and then our game kicked off at 7.
Oh, yeah. We'd do the doubleheader.
Just for shits and giggles, I'd go.
Just to say we were the better crowd at both games.
that would actually be true.
Yeah, just kidding. No, the energy draw well. I expect to be... in the minority there, but vocal.
The Rail's going to have to make a splash to have any chance.
They really are.
Any chance. And they're doing it on the field, but
I've seen nothing.
Community-wise, off the field.
I've seen them announce one preseason game that isn't going to happen.
Well, they are going to Florida to play Fondy and Burke.
Okay.
But whatever. As I say, I don't support Oklahoma City. I don't care either way. I do care that I don't want anyone to lose their team, but I'm glad it's happening down there and not up here, because it's kind of nice to watch the scientific experiment.
Yeah.
And that there is something to be said that is what's better for a city, one MLS city drawing 18,000 or two minor league cities drawing 9,000 each?
I mean, but I just wonder what NASL is thinking, trying to go head-to-head. I mean, in their own best interest, they should go after markets where they can be the number one option.
How much is an expansion fee in NASL?
I heard it was $1 million.
All right. So they take the check off Bob Lund for $1 million and go, okay, there's your team. They got $1 million knowing that it's going to fold in a year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
NASL can't keep folding teams.
No, they can't.
They're folding quicker than they're adding. And... they want to stay the Division II league.
Well, and at this point, they don't have anybody else that's going to leave. I mean, nobody else is going to go up to MLS this point.
The fact is,
but that's because there's nobody worth taking anymore. Now you've taken the last one.
If Rayo doesn't draw well and it is a bit of a mistake,
they can up and say, okay, we made a mistake here. We're going to go to Albuquerque or wherever, or Flagstaff.
But again, that's not good business either to move, I don't know. The NASL seems to be run like from the hip. Like they're making these decisions with their gut instead of actually thinking about what's going on.
It's a used car lot.
And let's go head to head with Oklahoma. Fuck them. Instead of sitting down and doing some math and saying, well, look, maybe it would be better to put it in Omaha. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you're rolling and everything's working for your league, then I get being cocky and going head to head. But they still need to fill out the whole Western side of their bracket. I mean, Albuquerque, Tucson, someplace in Wyoming, anything in the West they need. Go after a Eugene, Oregon that's not in Portland.
Yeah.
But we know Oregon people love soccer. You know what I mean?
Go Boise, Idaho.
Right. I mean, there are ways to do this. I don't understand their chutzpah.
But that's what I say. It's just me sitting here in St. Louis. Yeah. I can just watch what goes on down there with raised eyebrows. And, right.
And obviously they're not calling us for ideas on how to run their league.
So. I just imagine a whole bunch of guys like sitting around a table doing lines of coke off of it going, let's go to Oklahoma. That's a great idea.
That was the old NASL.
Not, seems to be much
the
different.
Meetings at Club 54.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what
BYOC.
But that's kind of the way they behave. It's it's
how long have we done? Are we at 77 minutes? Because I'm going to walk out.
Yeah. We really are done for the day. We don't have
past 77 minutes. Oh. Sorry.
All right. Well, we should.
You're no Liverpool fan.
This conversation could go on forever about what we think and what but nobody wants to hear that.
Well, okay.
500 people do, but
Brad thinks nothing of you people.
No, I think all the world of you people, but I'm,
you people,
you people. I'm not a smart man.
No,
so
you are not.
I don't have anything to say.
That's quite all right. What else is on the docket?
That's it. That's all. It's all being saved up for the annual general meeting, which we encourage you to come to.
I cannot wait. That's I can't even put words into it. I'm speechless.
It's the Eagle call to start the season.
Yeah, it is.
As I say, the friendly at Charleston will not be televised. It will not be streamed. So
I told Jeremy to strap a GoPro to Bond's head and periscope it.
I'd tune in.
I would.
I'd do it in a heartbeat. That would be good.
So it could be sponsored by the Bond Squad.
Not GoPro.
Bond Squad, GoPro.
Anyway, okay, so AGM, March 6th.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and, wherever else we happen to be.
I think that's everything. Okay. Bird?
No, I'm good.
We will see you all on the 6th. We will put up the recording of some version of the AGM afterwards.
Mitch, I can hear it.
Mitch will be available to sign autographs, HOF.
I should have set up a table at Ted.
I think you should have. Because they had all those little tables out. Like when the food people cleaned up and they left the table there, I wanted Mitch to just sit behind the table and just with a Sharpie ready to go.
Sign autographs.
But he didn't bring his green jacket.
I need a new jacket. I need a green and blue jacket.
Yeah, you
get
do.
The stripes.
You know it.
All right, that's good enough.
That's what we'll do the first raffle for to get Mitch a jacket.
And the signed shirt goes to.
Yes. All right.
Fantastic.
Bye, people.
See ya.